Good afternoon, and welcome to the KHP with music by PJG. Guest lead vocals, brother Tayshawn. Locking down that bass, none other than Tony B. And the guitar extraordinaire, none other, the big dog, Dave Brantley. Always amazed when I see Dave and Tony hook up their guitars, and Tony throws in the music box, and they begin to jam, just the two of them, as if they had a full band. Hey, good evening, and let's talk Article 2, because it's important for me to spend a little time on Article 2 so I can explain to mail handlers and clerks, there is no need to bring every EEO instance to Kenny Hodge. I'm fading out of this game. You have to start relying more on your union. No, don't let them send you to me either. Again, Article 2 in our contract, both contracts, addresses non-discrimination and civil rights. Now, I'm going to read to you from the mail handler contract today. But again, Article 2 in the APWU contract, it's the same. The verbiage is different, but it's about non-discrimination and civil rights. The employer and the union agree that there shall be no discrimination by the employer or the union against employees because of race, color, creed, religion, national origin, sex, age, or marital status. In addition, consistent with the other provisions of this agreement, there shall be no unlawful discrimination against employees as prohibited by the Rehabilitation Act of 1973 or the Vietnam Readjustment Assistance Act of 1974. Non-discrimination and civil rights are proper subjects for discussion at labor management committee meetings at the national, regional, area, and local levels provided in Article 38. Grievances arising under this article may be filed at Step 2 of the grievance procedure within 14 days of when the employee or the union has first learned or may reasonably have been expected to have learned of the alleged discrimination, unless filed directly at the national level, in which case the provisions of this agreement for initiating grievances at that level shall apply. The union, at the national and local levels, will take affirmative steps to ensure that bargaining unit employees are informed that they should not pursue essential contractual matters simultaneously under the grievance and EEO processes. The union at the national and local level will not encourage dual filing of grievances. So what I just said to you folks is, when you bring that EEO to me, understand that Article 2 in your contract, now it is not the same as filing an EEO complaint, but Article 2 gives you other ammunition to use against management when it is evident that you're being discriminated against. Now, again, when you look at the situation, again, in the Postal Service, everyone should be treated fairly. And if certain class of employees are allowed to continuously not come to work with no promise or no thought of PDIs or whatever corrective action the Postal Service wants to take, then I say all classes should have that same right. Again, if you're going to allow, and I'm talking directly to the Postal Service, if you're going to allow certain groups or classes, gender, age group, color of people to allow certain privileges, then you're going to allow everyone. That's the premise I work from. But as I said, I'm about to leave. And right now, you pay union dues every 2 weeks for your union to do what for you? You pay them so that your union ensures compliance with a nationally agreed upon contract. You pay them so that they ensure compliance with locally agreed upon memorandums of understanding. You pay for this service, and let me tell all union members something. You gotta make sure that you get what you pay for. Now, if you're in Local 304, I am well aware that you are used to paying for nothing, so this is going to be a change for you. But if you pay your union dues and Article 2 is in your contract, then you have to insist that your union fight that Article 2 fight for you a little more aggressively. Because again, as I used to pick up that task in the past, Kenny Hodges is on his way out the door. Okay, I'm looking at retirement, and right now I'm looking at reducing my EEO caseload. And again, I think it's good that unions bone up on Article 2. And again, no disrespect. It's probably one of those articles you've not got a grievance on in some time. You've not taken the step 2 or step 3 in some time. So when I say bone up on it, that's all I'm talking about. Hey, listen, I understand that we got pallets of mail ballots that came into the building today, heavily guarded by news cameras, a couple of high-ranking postal officials. But to the APWU clerk, look at how your job plays you like you're insignificant on an everyday basis. More times than not, you operate by yourself on a DB. Maybe with the reduction in the number of DBs, it's not happening as much, but it still happens. Now, you get those ballots in. Those ballots are going to be processed first or on a delivery barcode sorter. Now, I'm not there, but just to show you how bad the Columbus, Ohio postal playlist is, I can tell you what's going to happen. You're going to find that they're going to staff those machines properly, not because it's contractually right, because you have outside eyes looking at it. So to the APWU clerks, I guess that's Columbus, Ohio way of saying you really don't matter. But right now, since other people are watching, we're going to come into compliance. But as soon as these ballots are gone, you're not going to see two people on the delivery barcode sorter again. And shame on you if you go back to that non-compliant way when the post office is now showing you that they can be in compliance if you force them to. Hey, a quick show of appreciation to Tour 1 Maintenance Supervisor Richard Dawkins. No more needs to be said on that. And with respect to those ballots that are being mailed in, you'd be surprised at how the public thinks postal employees are going to try some shenanigans with these ballots. Well, listen to me when I tell you this. God knows I don't want to see Donald Trump as our next president, but I would not throw his ballots in the garbage. Again, it's all about democracy. It's all about trying to play fair, regardless of what others do. So all post employees, let's keep our eyes open and let's make sure we send those ballots home. In fact, I know this may sound crazy, but it's very true. Let's give those ballots a little extra attention, maybe a little more attention than we give our regular mail. It might sound crazy, but you're going to hear that in service talks, but probably paraphrased a little different. You know, tonight we're going to close the podcast out as I talk about a a post I seen on Facebook today, and it was very disturbing to me. Apparently, in the Dallas plant, forklifts driving off the dock is not an uncommon situation there. And I think that's horrible. But nonetheless, when I look at that picture, one of the comments I read was, this is not the first time. And I want to say, I'm glad as hell I wasn't the driver in that forklift, because driving off that dock into the cement, that could have been catastrophic. I'm glad, very glad, that the mail handler wasn't hurt. But we have to look a little deeper right now, because, and this is what keeps ringing in my mind, is this wasn't the first time it happened. And then I begin to look at the post coming in, and it is obvious that it seems like every dock have their own operational procedure on how they load, unload, secure trucks. And what I mean by that, there are some docks where, and again, this is information that I'm compiling off Facebook, where the truck must detach itself from the trailer while it's being worked on. I think it doesn't get any safer than that. Then you have a dock such as Columbus, where the driver will back in to a dock door, and then they lock the trailer in place. That's extremely safe. Then you have docks where, a little more older, antiquated docks, where you have to get out and manually chop the wheel of a trailer before we begin to work on it. And then you have to unchock it after you closed and sealed the trailer up. Well, here's my initial question to the mail handlers in Dallas, and hopefully to the union in Dallas. And I don't mean to step on anybody's toes, but what is the Dallas policy with respect to the loading and unloading of trucks? Now, we have to start there. And when I say we have to start there, we have to do more than just read. We have to go into understanding the Dallas Postal Service plant operations. What is the SOP on the loading and unloading of trucks? What are mail handlers required to ascertain before they begin to work on trucks? And let me tell you something, and I've never been in the Dallas Post Office in my life, I'm willing to bet you the SOP was not followed. I'm just saying, because let me tell you why I say that. And trust me, I'm just talking mail handler to mail handler or to my podcast audience. It's not about pointing fingers, because the person, the young lady driving the forklift was fine. That's what it said on Facebook. So, okay, no one got hurt this time. But how about we sit down and guarantee this never happens again? You see, because here's what I found very peculiar about the picture. And this is why I say whatever the SOP is, it probably wasn't followed. I'm looking at a forklift kind of hanging off the dock, dock door up, truck doors open but pulled away from the platform. Now, when I just look at that picture, there's a lot that I see that probably should not have taken place. And I want to say, if I'm that forklift driver and I'm working on the dock, I see a truck backed up to the dock. I see bay doors open. Just from instinct, I'm thinking I have to unload or load that truck, but there is some action that I must take on that truck. So I'm glad the forklift driver is fine, but Dallas, you need to sit down, or you should sit down, get that dock operation policy, the SOP, and two things. Make sure the mail handlers on the dock understand it, and you have to make sure it is enforced. Because I'm sure there's a safety and health committee there that would love to take this challenge on so that they can sit down at the annual safety and health committee and say, we put a process in place that we no longer have trucks driving away from a dock that risk potential injury to any postal employees. Hey, this is Kenny Hodge, and I didn't mean to get on you, Dallas, but I wanted to speak to you because this cannot continue to happen. Again, I'm glad no one got hurt, but if we continue to not understand the SOP, take shortcuts around the SOP because we know how to do it faster, then we continue to subject our fellow employees to unsafe work environments. Have a great day. I'll talk to you when I talk to you.